I want to talk to you today about greater things. It was interesting. Andy Carnival, I had one of the little girls come up. Still, I heard this believing in going to and heard that. Yes. Don't worry. I've heard several different things, and I want to talk to you today. I want to address some of those things. But I want us to think about, in this, three things that direct your people. First of all, the flesh wants to direct your people. Our flesh wants to satisfy the flesh and all the things that we want and the things may not be good for. But the flesh wants to direct our future. And then there's the enemy of our soul. Satan wants to direct our future. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But God wants to direct our future. And when God directs our future, He puts us in thing. It doesn't mean that we won't have trials or tribulations or difficulties, but God will support us and strengthen us and enable us to go through those things, and we will get into the greater things that God has for us. So I'll begin by looking at a verse where Jesus talks about certain things. John chapter 14, I want to look at verse 12 through 14. Is an interesting verse. It's a challenging verse. But it gives us such a promise. How many like the promises of God? I love God's promises. This is one of those promises. And Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me." Do we have any believers in Jesus here today? So he's speaking to us. "He who believes in me, the work that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do." What a promise from the Lord. Amen. Now, first note in this verse, he starts off, in my translation, it says most assuredly. In other translations, King James says verily, verily. Other translations say truly. Or other translations says I tell you. But the word in the original Greek is amen, or amen. And it is used only by Jesus in the New Testament to begin a statement. And he's telling us that this is truth. And it can't be interpreted. I am the truth. And I'm about to speak an important truth. You need to understand. How many want to understand the truth of Jesus? And that's the idea. And it calls our attention to evidence that is unusually important. The remarkable truth is that those who have faith in Jesus Christ, Jesus will do not only what he has been doing, but it says even greater things than these. Now, when I first heard this years ago, young boy, young teenager, I thought, what? What kind of promise is that? What is Jesus really saying to me? And my mind immediately went to the miracles of Jesus. And I thought about the miracles of Jesus. I thought about him opening the blinded eyes and casting out the demons and healing the leper and raising the dead. And I thought, what kind of miracle can we do in that? And as I studied it, I came to the conclusion he wasn't talking about greater miracles than that
type or that we're not going to do greater things than raise a dead. Right? I don't know much great miracle. But what I believe he's talking about is the scope of the miraculous and ministry. And I want to think about that today because I believe that God is telling us when you come to a time of transition, how many of us change? Most of us don't. Creatures of habit. We want things to be the way they are. Right? But God brings us to a transition. He's bringing us to a transition so that we can enter into great things. We can even begin to imagine. And we see that in Scripture. Jesus is saying here, I want to manifest my life and my power even in ways that is anything that you've known me to do. This past week, on the 10 a.m., I was asked to be on a TV show for King in Pakistan. And Renee Duncan hosted the show. And she invited me to come on, so I said, hey, that would be great. I've got time to do it. We'll have fun. So we went on the TV show, and we talked back and forth, and I sang, and then she had me pray for people that needed to accept Jesus, and then we prayed for people to be healed and set free. And the next day, they aired this show. And on Wednesday, when they aired it, it went out to 168 countries. And there were 512,000 people that watched that show. There were 40,000 people that gave their heart to Jesus. And there were 7,875 people that watched that show. That they accepted Jesus, 45 people. Others said Jesus healed them. Others said that was great. But they had over 7,800 people that said this was someone. And church, that's what Jesus was talking about. In Jesus' day, he was limited to a smaller world, he was limited to his body had. He could only minister to so many lives. But now, God is doing things. He's poured out the Holy Spirit, and he's commanded all of us, and all of us, to be the Jesus, to be the Jesus on the lives of people, and to be vessels for the Holy Spirit to pursue the world. So those are this morning, the Lord brought me to this topic. I don't believe that transition is about hindrance. I believe it's part of the greatest things that God planned for our church family. Are you with me? Over that, if I don't. I believe that. I'm of all that I believe God has planned for us. I'm not just excited that next Sunday we're going to have a big celebration for the UK. Although that's always exciting. Now, what is the greatest miracle of all? Salvation. Amen. That's the greatest miracle that we have ever received from Jesus. When we point ourselves to the cross and tell the story of Jesus, what he did for us, that he is the Son of the living God, that he descended from heaven, he was born of a virgin, he lived a sinless life, and he died on the cross for our sins, the greatest change, and that rose from the dead, that he was
imagine. How many of you have? Now, Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "When he received his word, from that day, 3,000 souls were added to them." 3,000 souls were added in that day. You see, the power of the church is taking the place of Jesus was preaching to the disciples, the apostles were preaching, and thousands of people were coming to Jesus. Years ago, I was praying, and I said, "Lord, I want to see you. I want to see you touch thousands of hearts in one moment and give their hearts to Jesus." And I didn't know if I would ever see it. I didn't know if that was God's plan, if He would like me to do that. But when He made a way for me to go to Pakistan, I got to see it by myself. I got to see people that were Muslims that didn't know Jesus, and I shared the gospel with them, and I got to see in thousands and thousands and thousands of people raise their hands and begin to pray for sinners. We're living in a time when, yes, evil is extending all over the world. The church, the power of God is greater. He moves across the world. There's a revival in the world today. And the church, I believe God's going to bring it to the United States. I'm not giving up on our country. I'm believing for miracles. I'm believing for God to have another great awakening. And I want to say something to you. In Mark's account, I want us to see something else of the Great Commission. Here is Mark's account of what Jesus spoke. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's our mandate. We're not going to give up on that. We're going to continue to do that. Okay? But look at what I said. "For the Jesus of the end is baptized will save, but he who does will be condemned." Just we have to talk about the scriptural references of condemnation that's going to come to those who don't know Jesus. There are people that travel and teach and tell disciples that there's no such thing as hell. Condemnation. Why? Because the people say the truth is salvation. The Lord, and Jesus said, "These servants will follow me. Believe." Again, how many believers do you have in here tonight? Believers. What are believers? He didn't say disciples. Since the apostles, he said believers. He said, "He who believes and is baptized," and he goes on, he says, "these signs will follow those in my name that cast out demons." Church, the demonic realm is full of reality. See the enemy coming in and tormenting people's lives. But listen, he says, "In my name," notice it's in his name, it's his power, it's his authority, not ours, but it's his. So when we come in his name, we have power over the power of the enemy to be captive. He says, "We can speak with new tongues." That's a reference to what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost. Verse 18 says, "They will take off serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them." He said, "You're supernaturally protected until the day that you are home." Because we have a purpose. We have a mandate from the Lord. And then he goes on and says, "They will lay hands on the sick and need to believe God for greater things, that we can be the best person because of the blood of Jesus on the cross. Amen? The Bible says we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't matter how low you sink into the world of sin, Jesus reaches down and he picks you up, pulls you out of that fiery mess, and he sits on the rock of Jesus Christ. And he says, not only are you cleansed, but I want you to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through your life to minister to others. I want you to believe me for greater things through your life. Do you believe that? I love that passage. We need to rescue people because the enemy has them bound up. And we rescue people when we surrender everything to Jesus. We allow the Holy Spirit to minister through them. And we do everything of ministry in His name. I want to read another couple of verses. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called his disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. We see that. We say, oh, but it's only the 12 apostles. I'll give you another. Luke chapter 10, verse 14. Then in the 70s, now, saying, Lord, even the demons are in your name. Are you with me? The name of Jesus is the source of our hope. It's the source of our power, strength, and our victory. Let's go back to the text. And he said to them, I shall fall like rain from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Everybody say all. Don't you love that word in Scripture? It doesn't say I'm going to give just the apostles or just pastors or just teachers or just evangelists. He says, I'm going to give you all. He's saying here, all the power of the enemy, over all the enemy's power. It doesn't matter what you encounter, church. It doesn't matter what you encounter on the wall. Christ on the wall, greater than any power of hell that you will ever face. That's what he says. And church, we need to rise up at that in these last days to say, to have my children. You're not going to have my grandchildren. You're not going to have my family. And we're going to pray. We're going to see God do greater things than we've ever seen before, I believe. And then finishes that verse with, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I love that. Again, until Jesus is ready for us, we have a hand protection. And when he's ready for us, he's going to come and take us to be with him. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, chapter 2, I'm going to look at a transition period in the church. It was a major transition in the church. And Jesus, his followers, command in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he said, and being assembled with them, he commanded them to depart, to come apart from Jerusalem. He commanded them, this is what the Scripture says, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. The promise of the Father he's referring to is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, he says, John was truly baptized with water, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Jesus is the baptizer. So if we don't focus on the Holy Spirit baptism, on that, or the gift of our witness, focus on Jesus. It's drawing closer to Him. It's yielding to Him. It's welcoming His presence and His power. Lord, fill me up with everything that You have. Strengthen me, Lord. Empower me, Lord. I want to set the captive free. I want to see miracles flow through my life where You touch me for Your glory. Look at verse 8 in this same chapter. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you and He empowers you, you're going to be an awesome witness of Jesus. And without the Holy Spirit's power, we're not going to be an awesome witness. Right? He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you to Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem would be the best. That's something that needs to be on our heart. And I would say, Pastor Mitch said, a great passion to reach the valley. He wants to start new things, and we've even implemented some new things, but we're believing that we're going to reach the valley in a great way than ever before. That's our top baseline, where we start. But then he says, and in Judea and Samaria, Judea would be reaching out to other communities around us, and Samaria would be reaching all over the state. But then he says, to the end of the earth. And church, I believe in this transition, God has greater things for the family right here. I believe an explosion of God's presence and power and glory in this house. And I believe God's going to take things. We're in my heart. God is in my heart. Not that I love our family, but He's stirred my heart to go along with Jesus and to turn to this. Not just community, but the state. The 30 pastors all over that never have anyone come to see them. They're isolated, they're lonely. And we have many former pastors that are here now that don't tell you because they're be in one of the villages. And I believe God's calling us to not only accept our local valley, but to save. I believe God's grace. I believe, God, that we're going to raise teams and go to villages. And we're going to reach out to all the people. We're going to do different kinds of ministry to all different ages. And we're going to see the power of the Holy Spirit ministered throughout our state. We're going to see our pastors open, our pastors strong, our churches taking it first and pushing back the darkness. And it goes to the end of the earth. I got called this week wanting two different pastors wanting me to come back to Pakistan in April. And one of the pastors said, I've got people in the films, and we talked about the Lord, great money. Last time I went, there were three different families that are desperate. And I'm excited. We still have people that get for when the money comes in, I take it to Renee and she gets it to them. To it's over $1,600 for a family because they've been in debt. They had somebody that was sick and they've gone to the hospital and they borrowed money from them. And then they can't pay it back. It ends up being three generations or more of people going into slavery that they can never get out of that debt. It's because I'm believing for greater things in the name of Jesus. I'm believing for greater things. I'm believing for greater pastor conferences, and for great families to be not physically, but physically, to see them free and living for Jesus. In verse 9, Scripture continues and says, "Now when he had spoken these things, he was broken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." That's a transition for the church. Amen. Jesus who had done everything before, all of a sudden he's ascending into heaven, and now he's giving the responsibility. Happen. Verse 14 in that same chapter says, "He God continued." I want us to look at some things in the life of the Christ. It's a transition to see greater things. Verse 14 says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary and the mother. Mother of Jesus and with his brothers." Here are some keys that we see in the earth to enter into the great things. First of all, there's people of prayer. People of prayer. We need to all be in prayer for the election. We need to pray. If you haven't voted, you need to go vote. Vote righteously. That's what the Bible tells us. Amen. No candidate is perfect, but we choose the one that lines up. That's what we have to do. We need to be people of prayer. And we pray for our bodies. We pray for God's truth. We pray for those who are sick and bodies. We need it. We need to be a people that believe in the power of prayer. They have been praying before they receive the prophet. In the other room, they were praying. So they continued in prayer. And then supplication. I want to talk about supplication. I want to reinforce this every time I come across it. Supplication isn't begging God. Some people think that it means you're just continually just crying out, begging God. It's not begging God. Supplication is the prayer that understands the promise that God has given them. God says, you go within Jerusalem until you receive the promises of the land from me. So they went and they were praying, and the praying with supplication means God promised, and we're not going to stop praying until we receive all that God has for us. Today we need to be people who pray the prayer of supplication. So many times I talk to people and they get frustrated. "Well, Pastor, I've been praying, but God hasn't answered my prayer." Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Because God's word promises that you're going to receive it. It's supposed to keep on praying. That's the prayer supplication. The first thing I want us to see here is the word comfort. I love this one. This is one of my favorite Greek words. Homothumadon. Everybody say that. Homothumadon. It's a great Greek word. In this passage, in the first two chapters, we see it three different times. Homothumadon. What it means is to have the same mindset, unanimous in the way that we're thinking. Homo, the word. Root word for that. And thumos is the word that's used in this same word, thumodon, thumos, and thumos is also the root word that we get the word thermostat or thermometer. It has to do with heat. In this case, it has to do with steel. It has to do with passion, church. So God only has the same mindset. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep us, but they have a passion. They were all passionate. In unity. Unity. And three different times, we're going to see this in a couple other verses. Three different times they're saying that they were in the same mindset. I love that. So next Sunday, we come and we celebrate the transition and where God's taking us into greater things. We need to come with a mindset that's locked on the promises of God and what He's called us to do. And we need to come with the same passion. Say, Lord, I want everything you have for me. I have a heart filled with my life. So fill the breath, Lord, with your presence and your power and your glory, Lord. I want to fill the breath. That's my prayer. I want to leave all people Jesus in the last years of my life. I want to see Jesus do more. Touch with people in certain ways and healing their bodies, setting them free, all those things that I've ever seen before. Because I believe God has and for greater things. This was a tremendous change for the followers that were taking the steps. Now I want us to look in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost fully come, they were all one accord in one place. There we see it again. It has changed. Their unity has changed. Their mindset has changed. Their passion has changed. Sometimes people comment about my passion. Say, I'm a little too passionate. I'm like a chicken. Well, there's a lot of people that need a cheerleader. But here, the unity continues. Look at this. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, one set upon each of them. They were singing in the spiritual realm, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Church, they received the promise that God had promised them. They were praying the prayer of supplication, and now they received the promise. As we pray the prayer of supplication, I will receive the great things that we're praying for. Look at verse 40. Now in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to jump down. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There was that one accord, same mindset, same passion for the pure word of God. Church, we have to keep that. Even if we read things that challenge our if you read the Word of God, it's going to challenge you. This week, I had a man that used to take our church and his family, and they just about a year ago, a great family. I talked to him for a few minutes and asked him what was going on. He said he moved to a beautiful part of the country. Moved to a part of Wisconsin up north where there are beautiful pine trees. He said, we don't have the mountains of Alaska, but we have beautiful rolling hills and lakes. And he said, it's a beautiful place. We found a nice home. But he said, Pastor, we have had a difficult time finding a church that preaches the Word of God. And he was just struggling. He said, we went to this church, and they were preaching things that I know was not the truth, because I've read the Word. And so he had a hard time. What can I do? He said, the church that knows preaching the Word is over an hour and 20 minutes away. And he said, I've been praying about this for weeks and weeks and weeks, and he said, years ago when I was a young man, I saw what God called my life, and I went to seminary for several years. And he said, then I went into teaching, and I've been teaching for numerous years. He said, I just feel like God's calling me back to ministry. And that's exactly what the phrase is. He said, how can I finish up with any classes I need in? How can I begin a work because I want the true doctrine to make a difference? Next, he says, and fellowship. They were in unity together in their fellowship. We need to have a problem. We need to recognize we're faithfully that we need to that prayer, we go through difficult situations, difficult times. We're with one another. We're family. Church, don't let your fellowship only be in the house of God. Fellowship outside the family of God in this house. Fellowship. Take one another out to eat at the church. Come over to one another's house. That's why our small groups are so important, because there's that fellowship. What does it say next? The breaking of bread. I think that was talking about cakes on Sunday morning in the foyer. The breaking of bread. It's speaking about going to one another's home and having a meal, but I think it also, in the original language, can be interpreted as taking communion. And there it is again, and in prayer. Verse 14. Spirit came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Did you hear that? The church is being birthed. The power of the Spirit is a transition. Now, we're going forward and administering the love, the life, and the power of Jesus. Verse 14. Now, all believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all. Anyone had need. Now, when you first read that, you may think, wow, they were socialists or communists. No, that's not what he's saying. They can all throw their money into one big pot and have the government control. What they were doing, they loved one another, they were family. When those that were more than enough saw need, they had need, they would sell things so that they can minister to the brothers and sisters in Christ. Church, that's family. That's unity. That's what God wants for us. Now look at verse 46, and I'm about to. So continuing daily with one accord. The phrase says, it hadn't changed. Their unity hadn't changed. Their passion hadn't changed. They were one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Church, that's what he planned for. That's the greatest things that he wants for all. You don't have to be a pastor and have gone to seminary to pray for someone, to tell them about Jesus, to tell them what Jesus has done in your heart and life. You don't have to have gone to seminary and prayed for years and years to see somebody that's sick and hurting and ask them, can I pray for you? And to lay hands on them and to pray in faith and believe that God is going to use you as a vessel. Greater things are worshiping to come. And the Lord added to daily those things to us. That's my prayer. Church, I believe God's got greater things for you. I believe God has greater things for our church, for our ministry. I believe God's going to open up doors. And it's amazing to me to think about, because we're not a huge mega church, but we're a church, passionate believer that loves Jesus, loves His Word, and we are praying that we can impact the world, and God is allowing us to see greater things. So I want to encourage you, as we come next Sunday, we're going to celebrate, because I believe God's going to launch us in to great things. Personally, in the valley, ministering and seeing people come to Jesus and seeing people healed and set free. I also believe that God's going to open doors for us to be in other villages, help other communities and other pastors in our state and around the world. Stand up with you. I want our prayer team to come forward. I'd like our pastors to come and our prayer team. We don't have enough to do.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.